I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, KrisAnnHall.com. Liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality. Well, today's the big day. Woohoo! Today's the big day. Today is the day I go to Haiti. My husband and my son have been in Haiti for 3 months. I have not seen them for 3 months, and today is the day I get to see them. Woohoo! I am so very excited. Yeah, can you imagine just how excited I am? Can you tell how excited I am? But I don't want you to fret. I don't want you to worry. I have great shows planned up for you while I am in Haiti. We will not stop educating. We will not stop broadcasting. We will bring you liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite personality. And as a matter of fact, we are going to do a little media fast next week. And I hope that you can join me in that, a little media fast. We're going to spend next week doing an in-depth study on what it means to be independent. Yes. We are going to do a brand new study on the Declaration of Independence. It's going to be very interesting. Those of you who have been with me for some time know that a couple years ago I did this study on the Declaration of Independence. But now I'm going to redo it based on current events. And, you know, it might be interesting. I never thought about that. It might be interesting to go back and listen to the original independence study that I did and this new one and see how far we've come. I suspect we haven't come very far because if I remember correctly, the list of grievances section, which is usually around day 4 or 5, was pretty full back then. And I imagine it's going to be pretty full now. So don't forget. And also, today is Chris Ann Hall television show day. So you can catch my television show 4 times today on the Christian Television Network on the Lifestyles channel. And if you're not quite sure how to catch that, then you can go to my website, chrisannhall.com, and click on the Chris Ann Hall Show TV show drop-down tab and find out just how you can watch the Chris Ann Hall television show. It's been so fun doing that TV show. I'm learning a lot. You know, don't expect Steven Spielberg type special effects and huge budgets. No, this is the Chris Ann Hall show put on television, and it's another way. And I'm so grateful to the Christian Television Network people and the Lifestyle Channel people for bringing the Chris Ann Hall Show to a brand new market, a global market. We're going to be able to reach people that we may not necessarily be reaching on the internet, on Facebook and on Twitter, teaching the principles of liberty that built America and makes us an exceptional place. And so, please, very excited. We're also going to be, I have also planned out that we're going to be doing a week-long study on the Article 5 Convention. Not something you may be expecting. Something maybe a little different. But something so important. Something so extremely important. It should blow your mind. that we would not even be discussing this in public forums. It's just, it's stunning. But you see, today we're going to address some issues. And the first thing we're going to... How many of you are actually learning more about the way Congress works as we move further down this trail? I mean, I love the way this whole battle within the Republican Party is shining a light in some very dark places. And we get to watch the roaches scatter. I think this internal feud is really serving as a great platform to point out where Washington, D.C. is just really jumped the rails. And the first thing we're going to talk about today jumps right out of the annals of, are you stinking kidding me? Seriously. Right out of the annals, are you stinking kidding me? I simply do not understand this. But I love this. You know, when we had the whole John Boehner replace John Boehner fiasco, you know what I learned? I learned that the Speaker of the House in one committee holds 5 votes. Did your head just rattle? The Speaker of the House in just one committee. Now, he's on lots of committees, but the Speaker of the House on just one committee holds 5 votes. Really? How is that even possible in a constitutional republic built on the premise that all men are created equal? And that a constitutional republic is built on the premise of equal representation. Wow. I mean, seriously, wow. And I never saw anybody in the media just run with this. We didn't see any big Fox News headlines and big debates with the elaborate rouge of Megyn Kelly. She is such a fake. Oh my goodness, did I just offend somebody? Seriously, Megyn Kelly wouldn't know the Constitution if it slapped her in the face. Maybe that's why they're not talking about these things. The Senate, the Speaker of the House has 5 votes in one committee? Oh man, I just shake my head over the whole Paul Ryan thing. Seriously. Oh my goodness, nonetheless, I digress. So I'm learning now a lot about how our Constitution is being destroyed by the federal government through their complete ruling and reigning by these elaborate and fabricated rules and regulations created by politicians to hide themselves behind rules and regulations so I don't have to follow the Constitution. Well, you know, seriously. So here's what I learned today. I hope you're sitting down because I'm telling you, this is an are you stinking kidding me moment. Do you know that speakers of the House get to keep offices in the U.S. Capitol for 5 years after they retire? Yeah, I know. Right? They keep offices in the U.S. Capitol for 5 years, all funded with your dollars, with staff and office supplies, funded with your taxpayer dollars, practically an unlimited budget. All the money, all the staff, all the supplies, your money can buy. Are you catching this? These people have been elected by no one anymore. Nobody elected them. They're not in office anymore. They've retired. And we pay for staff and office supplies for 5 years. What? What? Whoa! Really? So now here's the point. Your Congress. congressmen have been funding this since 1962. Actually, I think maybe 1971. 1971, we've been funding this. Every single congressman who has passed any, voted in favor of any budget since 1971 is a traitor to the Constitution and has been stealing your money. Is it possible that they don't know about this? Surely they have to know about this. This isn't any mystery. The Speaker of the House leaves and he's still there. What? I mean, seriously. Oh, these aren't small budgets either. Not in the very least. And this ain't a Democrat thing either. Dennis Hastert, who was Speaker of the House until January 2007, he had his office. He spent $1.9 million on his office fees. This is a Republican. I thought these were small government, fiscally responsible guys. I thought they were the defenders of the Constitution. That's what the Republican Party platform says. Defenders of the Constitution for limited government, as our framers was. And Dennis Hastert, a Republican, former Speaker of the House, spent $1.9 million of your money on his office fees. And he wasn't elected by anybody. He wasn't working for anyone, according to Patrick Halley on Breitbart. What? I mean, is anybody else sort of just puzzled by this? I mean, I'm offended. I'm angered by this. I'm angered to know that our money is being stolen in this way. What in the world are we doing paying these people? You know what? It's time. It is time to stop paying the federal government. This is just insane.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Speakers of the House. I really just want us to think about this for just one second. They've retired. They've retired. And they still get to stay in Washington, D.C. with offices on our money. And you know what? They don't even have to retire as Speaker of the House in order to get to keep their offices. Any stint as Speaker of the House, and you get to stick around on taxpayer dollars. Nancy Pelosi is going to get an office in Washington, D.C. for 5 years after she retires with your money. John Boehner with your money. Newt Gingrich with your money. Your money. Wait a minute. How many former speakers of the House do you think currently have offices in Washington, D.C., and they're not working for anybody? They've been elected by no one. What in the world are they still doing there? Why are they still there? Why are you still paying for them to be there? Man, I don't know. I don't understand this. They term it the Golden Years office. I'm speechless. Seriously speechless. I do not understand this. Well, Representatives Walter Jones Thomas Massey, and my representative, Ted Yoho, are trying to defund this, deauthorize it. Will it get to the floor? What a funny thought! All right, I want you to think about this for just 1 second. The Speaker of the House, who has this unconstitutional, inordinate amount of power, decides what legislation comes to the floor or not, which gets votes or not. And now we're going to bring before the Speaker of the House legislation to end the perks for all Speakers of the House. Woohoo! Yeah, government governing itself. Why isn't this considered a salary increase? How is it that I don't even think they should be getting pensions, okay? I don't think congressmen should be getting pensions. I don't think we should be paying them retirement. This is not supposed to be a retiring job. Our framers had hoped that people would spend one term and be gone. Some of them hoped they would only be up there for a year and be gone. This was not supposed to be a career, and we ought not be paying pensions. Oh my goodness, our framers. Oh man. I cannot imagine. I just can't simply imagine what if they were alive right now, they would be thinking. This is not lawful in any way, shape, or form. See, they're not only members of Congress, but you didn't put them there. They're not working for everyone. They're not working for anyone. And for 5 years, we're giving them an office with all the benefits. Am I spending too much time on this? I hope so. I hope that I am pounding this through to our heads. Really? Because this is just insane. A Republican former Speaker of the House spending $1.9 million of your money. I find it funny because Patrick Howley says it this way. Dennett Hastert spent Dennett Hastert spent $1.9 million from Uncle Sam's purse on his office fees. No, he didn't. Uncle Sam doesn't have a stinking purse. It's your purse. He spent $1.9 million of your money. What would we do if you had $1.9 million back in your pocket? And Dennett Hastert actually had to go look for a real job. I am stunned. Today's show is going to be about spending. It has to be, because this is absolutely insane. It's got to be about the insanity in America. The insanity in America is not Washington, D.C. The insanity in America is not the politicians. The insanity in America are the Americans that stand by and let this happen. This is insane. Absolutely insane. I'm just shaking my head. I'm just shaking my head. I don't know. It's crazy. So don't let them steal your life. Don't let them break your stride.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
I really think that we have devolved into a kingdom mentality in America. I honestly believe that. I believe that we have devolved into a kingdom mentality, and that all of our politicians are now aristocracy. And we've created countesses and counts and lords and dukes and duchesses and whatever. You know, I mean, it's just crazy. We set these people up for life. And they're supposed to be working for us. They're supposed to be humble servants of us. What in the world has happened to us? And now we're 11 months away from an election. 11 months away from an election. And we're completely consumed with one office and two people. It's like a bunch of subjects of a monarchy just melting down over the upcoming coronation. I mean, this is what it looks like in a kingdom when you're about to have a coronation of a new king. All the pomp and circumstance and the buzz and the media and the trinkets and the, you know, I mean, really. Meanwhile, we got 469 seats in Congress up for election in November. 469 people that we could replace to stop these golden years offices that are fleecing the taxpayers of their money, robbing them of their money. And all we can do is talk about one office and two people. What about all your local government who could stop sending all of this money to Washington, D.C. so that they can run around like a bunch of royalty, lauding their wealth over us? Oh, let them eat cake while we sit here for 5 years, elected by no one, employed by no one, and paid $1.9 million to just romp around and be whatever we want to be, pretend to be whatever we want to be. Can you imagine? What is the influence these people are wielding on our representatives? What kind of influence are these golden year offices wielding on our people? And we're paying for that, elected by no one, ruling over us. So I'm not going to call out any names. You can figure it out for yourself. I am looking at a conservative news website. A conservative news website. And I'm absolutely appalled by this. Absolutely appalled. You know, I have to look at this stuff so that I can pull out the things that need to be discussed from a constitutional perspective. And I'm looking at this hyped up conservative news website. Supposed to be the conservatives of the conservatives, the original conservatives. They're not mainstream, they're just conservatives. Teaching and preaching and giving us the truth, even when the other mainstream conservatives will not. Let me read you the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 top first page headlines. The first seven: media melts down. Study shows networks devote 105 minutes to Trump, 3 minutes to Obama. Three reasons Trump supporters aren't bigots. Two-thirds of likely primary voters support plan to block Islam, a Trump issue. Scottish University strips degree from the Donald. Why Trump's winning. Nine facts about the Islam media they don't want you to know. Report: Farouk neighbor planned terror attack in 2012. Obama uses 150th anniversary of 13th Amendment to attack Trump. Mein Kampf, top Google image for Trump book. I mean, I know I've gone past the original. I keep going here. Psychoanalysts tell BuzzFeed Trump, real American nationalist. Trump Muslim ban has nothing to do with... I'm still going. This is all in the same order. Trump Muslim ban has nothing to do with religion. Watch members of Congress give Obama standing ovation after challenging Trump. Russell Simmons calls Trump an amazing friend. What? Still going. CNN embarrasses itself with false attack on Muslim extremism poll. Whoopi Goldberg, Trump should be on watch list for recruiting the Islamic State. I skipped one. Here we go. Are you ready? I skipped one. Matthews, Trump resonating with little guys sold out by permanent political class. Daily Show's Trevor Noah calls Trump the white version of ISIS. Trump-backed unfunded mayor dunks donor-fueled community organizer in Maine. I'm just reading them in order. This is not media. This is not news. This is a sickness. This is a sickness. This is a psychological sickness. tell me, what in the world is going on in America? When I don't even know how many that is. When that's all that we're talking about. What is Congress doing? Congress is funding speakers of the House to have playgrounds with your tax dollars for 5 years. Congress is trying to make it easier for these refugees to come to America. Easier. That's what their new legislation is going to make it easier. We're going to fund these Islamic refugees. We're going to fund them now. The GOP is going to fund them. I don't know. What is this? Senator Barbara Boxer. We are funding Senator Barbara Boxer's after-school 21st century community learning centers. Our Congress has reauthorized it for 5 years with the new Every Student Succeeds Act education bill. And all we can do is talk about Trump. All of this stuff going on. And all we can do is talk about Trump. Oh my goodness. What in the world? What in the world? It is a sickness. It's absolutely a sickness. It's Stockholm Syndrome. We have fallen absolutely head over heels in love with our captors. Why in the world? Why in the world are we funding all of this garbage? There is no authority for Congress to be funding anything in education. None whatsoever. There is no education authority for the federal government and the Constitution. Education is something that is reserved to the states. It's amazing because James Madison is arguing in 1792 on the House floor that our Congress does not have the authority to use taxpayer dollars to fund subsidize industries. How is it that this is who we are when our founders worked so hard to make us something different? James Madison tells us that the powers delegated to the federal government are reserved to external objects of war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce. He said the central government's power to tax is to be limited to those powers in Federalist 45. He clarified the meaning of those oft-abused clauses, general welfare, necessary, proper, commerce, and tax and spending clauses. In 1792, during his debate on the cod fishery bill, he specifically said that the general welfare, necessary, proper, commerce, and tax and spending clauses were not powers of their own, but descriptions of the purpose of those limited and enumerated powers already mentioned. The general welfare clause, he explains, was added to describe the purpose of the limited powers being delegated to the central government, so the central government could use those powers for the general welfare of the Union, rather than for the benefit of one state over the other. This cod fishery bill debate makes it crystal clear that these are not blankets of power to do anything you can think of to promote the so-called general welfare or the so-called necessary and proper. It is, ironically, in fact, a limitation to direct that the power be wielded equitably. You know, in this debate in 1792, Madison also warns of the consequences of interpreting these clauses as general boilerplate powers, rather than descriptions of the intent that limited powers. It's just crazy. He said, quote, "For if the clause in question really authorizes Congress to do whatever they think fit, provided it be for the general welfare of which they are to judge, and money can be applied to it, Congress must have power to create and support a judiciary establishment with jurisdiction extending to all cases favorable, in their opinions, to the general welfare. And in the same manner, they have the power to pass laws and apply money, providing in any other way for general welfare." You know what Madison's saying is, look, if you allow this to be a boilerplate clause, you know what Congress will do, Madison says? He says, they'll write laws to give them the power to have money and spend money wherever they want. And then they will buy out courts and put judges that they've bought and paid for it on those courts that will support their wicked spending habits. He says, if Congress can employ money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, there are consequences to be faced. I'm going to tell you what Madison, James Madison, the father of the Constitution, claims to be the consequences of an out-of-control congressional spending. My choice, don't censor my voice. Hate me if you won't, or love me if you can. If the truth is what you want, then you found your man. I ain't backing down, I ain't backing up. If you think like I think, then crack it on up. I won't back up, I don't back down. I've been raised up to stand my ground. Take my job, but not my guns. Tax my check till I ain't got none. Except for the good Lord up above. I answer to no
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So James Madison in 1792 says, if Congress can employ money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. They may appoint teachers in every state, county, and parish, and pay them out of their public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools, or curriculums, as we would call them today, throughout the Union. Hello! Isn't that exactly what's happening? Isn't that exactly the very definition of every Student Succeeds Act? The federal government paying teachers and creating curriculum out of the public treasury? He says they may assume provisions for the poor. They may undertake regulation of all roads other than post roads, and in short, everything from the highest object of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress, for every object I have mentioned would admit the application of money, and might be called, if Congress so pleased, provisions for the general welfare. In this discussion, Madison is remarking that this is an obvious abuse of power for the central government to assume the role of education, to engage in welfare for the poor, to take control of roads and religion. Come on now. The General Welfare Clause does not give power or permission for the federal government to be involved in any of these things. The father of the Constitution, once we've adopted this erroneous interpretation and application of the General Welfare Clause, he says we will have a ridiculously out of control federal government. He said, I venture to declare it as my opinion that were the power of the Congress to be established in the latitude contended for, it would subvert the very foundations and transmute the very nature of the limited government established by the people of America. And what inferences might be drawn, or what consequences ensue from such a step, is incumbent on us all to consider. He thought it was absolutely ridiculous that we would have federal welfare, that we would have federal education programs, that we would have federal departments of transportation, that we would have federal anything in the state level of governance, of life. It's funny because Thomas Jefferson talks about a potential Department of Transportation. In a letter to James Madison on March 6, 1796, Thomas Jefferson says, as to a potential Department of Transportation, he says, I view it as a source of boundless patronage to the executive, jobbing to members of Congress and their friends, and a bottomless abyss of public money. It will be a scene of eternal scramble among the members who can get the most money wasted in their state. Does that deserve being repeated? I mean, seriously, a boundless patronage to the executive, jobbing to members of Congress and their friends, a bottomless abyss of public money. It will be the scene of eternal scramble among the members. Who can get the most money wasted in their state? 1796, Thomas Jefferson is very, very strangely and eerily describing what we have today, not just simply in the Department of Transportation and in every executive agency that we have. And meanwhile, all we can do is talk about Donald Trump. I weep. I weep, America, at the media influence lost. I weep at the education that is lost because all we're doing is focusing on pure kitsch and garbage. Can we turn this stuff off and start really getting educated, please? I just want to know. Our children depend on us. God bless. See you tomorrow.